Well, good morning. Thank you for coming to our workshop, Engaging the Holy Spirit on Sundays. I'm so honored that you're here. You might be wondering, who the heck am I? I'll introduce myself in a moment, but I want to pray as we start off our time together. Jesus, we're so grateful that you love us. We're grateful that you have left your Spirit for us. And I pray that as we learn, as we wrestle with, as we think of creative ways to engage your Spirit, our Comforter, our Guide, that you would just enlighten our minds right now. Illuminate, Lord, just what you called us to in our churches, our ministries, and that we would learn and think of ways that we can impart your truth to your people. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us an incredible time together. I pray that this would be helpful, insightful, informative, Lord. We are so grateful for the journey that we're on as we serve and follow you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Jeremy Mail. I am the lead pastor of the Highlands. It's a church in the high desert of Southern California, Palmdale. And so we see no snow, no rain, but sun. So that's awesome. And over 100 degree weathers in the summer. And so I'm not looking forward to this summer. But my wife and I, we co-pastor the Highlands. Her father, our founding pastor, Ken Hart, founded in 1989. And we took over in 2021. And so God's been doing some amazing things in our church. In fact, if you do have a few seats, if you can maybe scrunch in, you hate this in your church services, and I apologize for doing this to you, but if you can move in a little bit so we can have those that are standing maybe find a seat. Yes, there's always room up front. So like always room up front in our services as well as in our workshops. And so, but I've got to be honest, I have a confession to make. I think I might be the most unlikely guy to be leading a workshop on the Holy Spirit in all of our Foursquare family, because I did not grow up Foursquare. I did not grow up Pentecostal, and that might be a couple strikes against me, depending on how you view that, but I grew up Baptist. I know. Hold on. I know. Like, you're about to cast stones at me. It gets worse. It gets worse. I grew up independent, fundamental, King James only, suit wearing. I thought this was a Foursquare family. Like, I am not feeling the love in this room right now. I grew up in a unique environment. In fact, Amy and I, we were talking with Randy, this is a couple of years ago, and he was telling us, I have this like fascination with this group. Have you ever heard of them, like independent fundamental Baptists? And I'm like trying to be chill. Like, I don't want him to know. Like, one of the pastors grew up there, and Amy's like elbowing me like, he grew up there. I'm just like, calm down, babe. Like, I don't want him to know. And so it was one of those things where I just, for the first 30 years, I grew up in this Baptist environment, wore my suit, had my King James Bible, and didn't really understand the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for my background because I have a love for the Bible, a heart for discipleship. Baptists are Christians, by the way, just so we're all clear. But I did not really fully understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what it was incredible was I went to a Baptist college, got married to a Baptist girl. I became a youth pastor at a Baptist church. And about 6 years later, life completely fell apart. Went through a divorce. I, a Baptist, believe, you know, when you're divorced, it's game over. And I just was like, God, like, you call me to be a pastor for 4 years of Bible college and 6 years of pastoring, and that's it? Like, I'm 30 years old and life is done? Like, it's over. And I remember moving back home, and I found the Highlands, which I didn't know a single person there. Didn't know it was Foursquare, didn't know it was Pentecostal. And I wanted to go to a place where I didn't know anybody. And I'm telling you, over those 2 years, God really healed and restored my heart. And we could share lots of reasons why we all love Foursquare. My reason is that Foursquare gave me a second chance. And I shouldn't be here, according to my Baptist friends, but I'm grateful God wasn't done with me yet. And so what I believe today is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe over the last 13 years, God has just been really depositing things in my heart, in my life. And so I'll be honest with you, and this is going to be one of my points later on. I don't know the answers to everything. So we're going to crowdsource some things, and we're going to figure out some things. My prayer is that you would leave with a couple of ideas that you can take back to your ministries, to your churches, and believe that God's going to do some incredible things. Now, here's why we're here right now, talking about engaging the Holy Spirit on Sundays. So about 2 years ago, I was working on a series that I want to take our church through in the book of Acts. And I wrote a devotional verse by verse for the book of Acts, and I was studying for this sermon series. And I just, as I read Acts, it was like I was reading it for the very first time. I was reading it not with my Baptist eyes, but with like new Pentecostal eyes. And I realized a key central theme of the book of Acts was the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a verse, I think it's Acts 1:5, that I don't think was in my King James Bible, because Jesus says, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, where was that verse growing up? Like, I don't remember that verse. I think they hid it and maybe marked it out with a black marker. And I remember thinking, like, as we were fast forward to January of 2024, I was preparing a message on the power of the Holy Spirit, and I told him, I was like, I think we need to do a baptism service in our adult services. Now, our church had never done one up to that point. Perhaps in your ministries, that hasn't happened. And now we have multiple services on Sunday. We have 8:30, 10, and 11:30 English services and a 1:30 Spanish, and they all share the same space. And we're talking like, well, what if we did baptism services? And then it's like probably what you're thinking about. Well, what about children? What about youth? What about parking? What about worship? What about this? And we'll talk about all those things. But we took a step of faith last Super Bowl Sunday of 2024. For some reason, we didn't plan very well, okay? Like, that's what we're doing. And I'm going to give you kind of a brief overview, and then we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty later. But Super Bowl Sunday of 2024, we just were like, you were just going to be obedient. So we talked to our worship team, and we're like, I think we're going to have just one continuous service all day long, and we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants. Across our three adult services, we had over 750 men and women stand to be baptized in the Holy Spirit on one Sunday. And that wasn't like a corporate prayer, like everyone pray. We prayed over everybody. We'll talk about that in a moment. And it was the closest thing I've been to revival in my life. People would drive into the parking lot, and they didn't know, they'd come in like, what's going on? Like, from the street, something is happening. Like, what's going on? And we're like, we're just opening up for the Holy Spirit to move and to work. And then this year we planned another Holy Spirit Sunday, and we didn't do it on Super Bowl Sunday. We did it at the end of January. We actually timed it with our Foursquare fast, which I'll talk about in a moment. And we had over another 600 men and women this year also say, hey, we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to encourage you with, and I know I'm the Baptist boy in some of your eyes, so you know I understand where the filter that might be coming through. Baptist boy, but now I'm just a Foursquare man. Like, that's where I am right now. But what I believe is in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that it's not just for the marketplace. It actually starts at our churches. And our churches should be these safe spaces where we can allow the Holy Spirit to move and encourage and equip them to go out. And so what I want to talk about for just a few moments is this idea of engaging the Holy Spirit. And by the way, let me ask, how many of you, because there's a lot of hate towards me as the Baptist guy, but how many of you also did not grow up Foursquare or Pentecostal? All right, let's boo them too. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to boo them either, but if you did not grow up in Foursquare or Pentecostal, you understand, like there's, maybe you didn't grow up in church and you're just like, man, like this is all new. I'm here to tell you, like, it's okay. Like, we're going to move forward together, and the Holy Spirit's so powerful. And, you know, they have this business term that's called the differentiating factor, and it's this idea that there's something that will differentiate you from everybody else. Like, for example, Amazon, one of their factors is free shipping or quick shipping. Like, sometimes you get something today or tomorrow, and then, you order from another company, and they're like, it'll take about a week to 10 days. You're like, oh, a week to 10 days? Like, I want this tomorrow. Like, where's Amazon? And so that's a differentiating factor. Let me tell you, a differentiating factor for us is the Holy Spirit. If we don't engage in the Holy Spirit in our churches, we are just like the Baptists, the Methodists, Presbyterians, all the others. This is a differentiating factor for us. So we need to lean in and engage the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? Why the title, Engaging the Holy Spirit on Sundays? I want to encourage our church members, encourage our churches to walk in the Spirit during the week, but do we as pastors and leaders walk in the Spirit on Sundays in our services? I want to walk through how we engage the Holy Spirit in a few different areas. We're going to look at this idea of engaging the Holy Spirit personally. There's some questions that I'm going to ask you that you can reflect on as we think about the Holy Spirit in our life. We're going to look at just the Holy Spirit, engaging him in our church culture as well as in our services. And I want to encourage you, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit should be relegated to a side room I don't believe the Holy Spirit should be relegated to a life group or discipleship class. I don't believe if somebody wants the Holy Spirit, there's a prayer room. If you go down the hall on the third door, if you jump over the obstacles, that's the Holy Spirit room. No, the Holy Spirit should be where we are worshiping and making room for the Holy Spirit. And so as we think about this, I want to encourage you, if you want to look up the notes and follow along there, if you have the Connection app, our notes are in the workshop, or I have another resource page that I'll share with you later, but you can go to, it's jeremymayol.com/Holy Spirit, and there's some resources along with our notes there as well. But let's jump into this, as this idea of engaging the Holy Spirit in our life. And by the way, if you have comments, questions along the way, feel free to raise your hand. I want this to be as interactive as possible. We'll do some Q&A at the end. We're actually going to pray over each other at the end as well. And I want to just encourage you to really open your heart. Whatever your background is, I don't know if anybody was as extreme as me. I remember, by the way, I went to the Highlands and I wore a suit for like the first 2 months. Nobody wore a suit. But I'm like, I have to wear a suit. Like, I remember the first time I wore jeans to church. I was like, Lord, please don't strike me down. Like, I don't know if this is okay. He didn't strike me down. I was like, okay, I think it's okay. I remember the first time I spoke in a hoodie at church. I'm feeling like a reprobate. Like, what is happening? Like, but I'm grateful that there is freedom in the Spirit of the Lord. How do we gauge the Holy Spirit in life? It's by asking a few personal questions. And I know the first one's going to seem very odd, but we have to start somewhere, and it's this. If you want to engage the Holy Spirit in your life, the first question you need to ask is, number one, do I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? I know it's basic, but we have to start here. And the reason I ask this is because, as amazing as you are, there is a group of first century disciples who did not necessarily believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, when he was teaching, he was like, hey, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, your guide, and I want you to follow him. And look what happens in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And I don't know if Jesus, like, rolled his eyes or, like, facepalm. Like, I don't know what he did, but if I was Jesus, I'm like, guys, are you serious? Like, have you not been listening to me over the last few years? Like, they're like, Jesus, we know, we just saw you betrayed and beaten and crucified and buried and resurrected, but we also hate the Romans. So can you please help us with the political power? Because that's really what we need. And Jesus is like, are you serious? And I wonder sometimes if there are some things that you and I believe in the power of over the Holy Spirit. Because it starts here. Like, sometimes, and we can be silly, like, we believe in the power of haze machines and lights to, like, foster this emotional environment for worship. Sometimes we believe if I just share this message or this word. Growing up Baptist, it was like there was power in the King James Bible. Like, that was the power. Like, and so sometimes there's things that we often, maybe even subconsciously do. We put power in other things other than the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand the first step. If we're honest, sometimes we believe in things other than the Holy Spirit. But here's the second question I want to ask you, and that's this. When was the last time you saw the Holy Spirit work in your life? Sometimes, and let me talk to those who grew up Foursquare or grew up Pentecostal, you had an experience as a kid, and you've been resting on that for the last 3 decades. Have you seen the Holy Spirit work in your life recently? Because if you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, he should be working in your life. Now, there's like a humble brag. Let's do a Holy Spirit brag. Is there anybody that wants to share a recent example of Holy Spirit working in their life? Anybody? Because he's not. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Let's start right here.
Yes, the Holy Spirit was working in our church where we laid hands on people and they were healed as well. And there was also times we do deliverance. We do a victory and recovery on Friday night. And we do deliverance afterwards. And so addiction, broken.
Amazing. Let me get back here, and I'll take maybe a couple more. Right here in the middle.
Hello, I am Tommy from Santa Claus, Indiana. And I am rooming with a guy for the conference who is from Colorado. And he is, I think, like 64 years old. And he gets up at 4:30 in the morning, which is 5:30 my time. And so when he gets up, I get up, and so yesterday I got up at 4:30, and I read my Bible, and I got through like 15 chapters, and one of the chapters I posted on my Instagram was 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, train yourself in the Lord to be godly. And so I posted that, and 34 minutes later I went on Facebook, and my buddy posted that same scripture, and so I was like, let's go, Holy Spirit.
Let's take one more up here. Actually, I've been doing guys. Let me do a lady right over here.
So it's not like super, super recent, but winter camp, I'm chaperoning, but I'm also there with my own kids. And it was my daughter's kind of first experience being old enough to go to youth camp. And she has really significant asthma. She's been hospitalized a lot of times. And while they were doing one of the breakout sessions, it was all on spiritual disciplines, super cool. And one of the leaders got up and was like, I feel very strongly that we need to pray for healing. And he's like, very specifically, like, someone needs to be healed from asthma. No other kid walked up, not one. And so my daughter went up to him afterwards, like, I think it's me. And she hasn't been hospitalized since. She hasn't had a major asthma issue since. And that's really huge for her.
I love when our kids and young people see the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. I don't know if you're a regular teaching pastor, you bring messages. A way that the Holy Spirit works in my life often is, you know, and I know there's a lot of senior pastors in this room, you'll prepare for your message, you'll spend hours, you're ready with the text, you got your message, and all of a sudden you get up there and you're just like in the middle of speaking. Like I was speaking at a conference last week, I spent hours on this message on idols. In the middle of the message, as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit brings a thought, and I'm kind of like want to be like, hold on, one second, hold on, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? But it's like the Holy Spirit will bring things that I never even thought about over hours of study in the moment that I'm able to share with people. And I think the Holy Spirit is always working in our life. I don't always know if we recognize it, though. And so I believe that we need to constantly think about the last time the Holy Spirit worked in our life. And by the way, this is no shame. If it's been a while, let me encourage you. Like, Holy Spirit, before I leave Denver, I want you to do something in my life right now. And I love it. It can show up in a Bible verse. It can show up in healing. It could show up in prep. It could show up in some area that you're just deliverance or you're praying over people. Maybe at the airport. I mean, Holy Spirit is also at the airport. There's not a lot of other great things at the airports, but the Holy Spirit is there. The third question I want to ask yourself as we engage the Holy Spirit personally is this. Do I give others an opportunity to lean into the Holy Spirit? As pastors and ministry leaders, it's important for us to lean in and allow others an opportunity. Let me talk to those of you who are older. As you've seen the Holy Spirit move and work, are you creating some spaces for those around you to also experience that? And so we find in Acts chapter 2, after Peter had preached, it says in verse 37, when they heard this, the people were pierced to the heart. Peter created this environment as he was preaching for people to lean into the Holy Spirit. Do you allow others to express their giftings and their learnings about the Holy Spirit? Because honestly, pastoring is weird. Like, we're professional Christians. We're paid, or maybe we're volunteering, but it's an elevated position, and people are looking at us like we have all the answers, like we're the most spiritual people on the planet. And we know in this room, like, are you kidding me? Like, we're not. Like, we're still struggling. We're raising teen daughters. Like, I'm like, Jesus, help me. Like, there's a lot of things that you and I struggle with, but we're supposed to present this, like, image that we have it all together, and we're just like, actually, like, I'm struggling right now. And so I pray that the church is a safe place for us to do that, but we need to give others an opportunity to lean on the Holy Spirit. I love that we mentioned winter camp, because I was going to mention camps are such an important thing. Camps are incredibly important. In fact, I'll be honest with you. Again, my first camp, I was youth pastor at the Highlands for about 5 years. My first Pentecostal camp was 10 years ago, and I was so scared about it. Like, I'd been hearing about this Holy Spirit night, and I'm just like, I'm used to like sword drill night. Like, that's what I'm used to. Like, I don't know about the Holy Spirit night. And it's such a small thing, but I love how even the Holy Spirit works in small things. And so for me, it was that Holy Spirit night at my first camp as a youth pastor, and I had this massive headache. And I know it was the enemy, like, trying to get me out. And I didn't really even necessarily, if I could be honest with you, want to go to that night, because I was just a little bit, there was some fear and trepidation of what was going to happen. Because I grew up, Pentecostals were evil. Like, Pentecostals were weird. Like, And my only Pentecostal expression I'd ever experienced was when I was in ninth grade. I visited some family in North Carolina, and we visited my mom's friend's Pentecostal church. They literally, it was about the church room, the size of this room, running around the room like, and I'm like 15 years old, like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? And then someone would run up to the pulpit, yell what I thought was gibberish, and run back around, and people were waving things. I'm just like, I need my King James Independent Fundamental Baptist Church because I know that. And I remember thinking, like, all the stereotypes are right. Like, and it wouldn't be for 15 years until I go back to a Pentecostal church. And so I was so nervous about that Holy Spirit night at camp. But I remember I was sitting in that seat there at Camp Cedar Crest, and I prayed, like, Lord, I want to be here. I don't understand it all, but I want to step into this. And would you heal this headache? And it was just immediately. And what was amazing was that first night, it was such a small thing for me that God would heal the headache, but it was such a big step of faith for me. Because I'm like, you know what? I think there's something to this Holy Spirit thing. And it was one of those things where I was just like, okay, Lord, I want to be available. I want to move forward. And I want to give others an opportunity to lean to the Holy Spirit. But here's the fourth question. Are you willing to be uncomfortable in allowing the Holy Spirit to lead? Now, I'm talking to pastors and ministry leaders, and if there's one word that would define all of us or describe all of us, it's probably the word control. We like to control things. It's not necessarily a bad thing because we're responsible. We have a weight on our shoulders to lead this church forward, to move. So we have to be in the know, and we have to, in some respect, control some things. But sometimes we're afraid because if we give up control and the Holy Spirit takes control, well, I don't know what's going to happen in the next song. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. I had planned. Like, I'm kind of a control freak, I'll just admit. I like to plan things ahead. I like to know what's happening. And so when I let the Holy Spirit take control and I'm not in control, I'm like, Jesus, help me. Like, I need you to take this on, and I need you to move forward. Are you willing to give up control and trust that he's going to move in a direction that you didn't see coming? And so what I believe is to the level of us being willing to be uncomfortable is going to be the level that the Holy Spirit's going to be able to move. And so if we're allowing ourselves, I'm just going to be uncomfortable. Yeah, we have a plan. Yeah, we're trying to schedule some things. We're trying to keep some things. But Holy Spirit, if you want to go a little bit longer, if you want to change my message in the middle of my message, give me a thought. I'm going to move forward. Because let's be honest. For every time that I do share a thought that the Holy Spirit speaks to me during a message, that's probably how many times I don't share the thought. And then later I'm just like, oh my goodness. So we have multiple services, as I shared. And Pastor Daniel Brown I think he's studied the Holy Spirit longer than I've been alive. Like, he's been amazing. I'll share his website in a minute. He came to our church, and he's just been a major influence in my life for the Holy Spirit and the doctrine. And I remember telling him, well, Pastor Daniel, like, I preach multiple services. I want them to all be the same. I feel like someone that came to 11:30 should hear the message that was brought at the 8:30, and he's like, why does it need to be the same? Well, I don't know. I'd like it to be the same. Like, and he's just, well, but have you considered that somebody came to your 11:30 service that needed to hear this thing that maybe some of the 8:30 service didn't need to? And he really was cultivating this, hey, it's okay to be uncomfortable in the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to encourage you with this is, are you willing to be uncomfortable? The last question as we look at engaging the Holy Spirit in our personal life is this, number 5. Do you practice a regular rhythm of prayer and fasting? This has been a new insight for me as I was going through the book of Acts last year, that the more I focused on the Holy Spirit, the more that the Holy Spirit was a theme in the book of Acts, the more you saw fasting and prayer connected. And I realized as I was fasting more, I was more focused on the Holy Spirit. As I was focused on the Holy Spirit more, I was more fasting. And let me just give you a public service announcement. We do a 4-square fast in January. You are allowed to fast at other times in the year. And I'm going to blow your mind, but you can also fast shorter or longer than 21 days. Like this past Easter, I'm starting to fast at very important parts of our church calendar. So like even this last Easter, we fasted the week before Easter. And we're just like, Lord, we want to see you do something. And God just blessed our Easter in an amazing way. But it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you doing in fasting? I found this beautiful verse in Joel where the prophet says, even now, this is the Lord's declaration, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting. That was the first way that this prophet is asking God's people to turn to God with their heart through fasting. And I'm going to tell you, the more that I fasted over the last few years, the more I've wanted to lead in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so one thing I've learned over these last few years is that fasting usually precedes any significant move of God. And so we were doing a building campaign last year, and so we fasted. Our Holy Spirit Sundays, we're fasting before. Easter, there's moments, camp, there's other things that I believe that we are called to fast, because what we're doing is we're denying ourselves some things, and we're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, our church, we actually give them an out. We say they can fast social media, fast entertainment, fast sports, whatever. But you're ministry leaders and pastors, and so fasting in the Bible always connects to food. So I think we should fast some sort of food. We did a liquid fast last year, the hardest 21 days of our life, but it was so good for our soul. We've done caffeine fasts, which is actually the hardest fast, I think, because I'm addicted to tea. And so I don't recommend that. Actually, no, I do. Just give everyone advance warning that you're fasting from caffeine and then just hide for 3 weeks. Like, just be in solitude. I've done sugar fast, maybe you fast from your favorite foods, but just fasting is an important part, I believe, of a regular rhythm. Now, let me ask this question, because we're going to move into the second section of engaging the Holy Spirit in our church culture. How many of you are lead pastors, senior pastors? Would you raise your hand? Leader, senior pastors? Okay. And then, so only about 25% or so of this room are lead pastors. Let me talk to lead pastors for just a moment. Lead pastors, you have to give permission to the church that you lead, to the staff, the leaders, the volunteers, to engage with the Holy Spirit. It really does start with you. Now, for those of you who are not lead pastors, our children's pastors, youth pastors, young adults, discipleship, men's, women's, ministry leaders, you also have to give permission to the departments that you're leading to engage in the Holy Spirit. So if you're a youth pastor, then the teenagers will only rise to the level that you're leading to. And so we have to give permission to those that we're leading to engage the Holy Spirit. I love, there's author Seth Godin. He describes culture, kind of a famous definition. He says, people like us do things like this. And I love that for our context, because if we're Foursquare, Foursquare people like us do things like this. We lead into the Holy Spirit. And so if we're going to be people like us, then there are some things we need to do like this. And so how do we engage the Holy Spirit in our church culture? Well, the first one we need to do is we need to remove the stigma on the Spirit. We find this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power. I love that because I'll be honest with you, Pastor Ken hired me as a youth pastor in 2015. It probably wasn't until maybe 2018, 2019, that I was starting to get even a little bit more comfortable in the Holy Spirit. I remember I was wanting to lean into the Holy Spirit in our youth group, but I had no idea what I was talking about or doing. And so we did a series on the Holy Spirit in our youth, but I had all of our teaching pastors at our church do a week. And it wasn't actually just to help the teenagers learn. It was actually to help me learn. And then I had Pastor Ken lead a baptism service in our Wednesday night youth because I didn't know how to do it. And so I'm watching him and I'm doing this. And I appreciated Pastor Ken for removing some of the stigma, the baggage that I had growing up, and I believe that's important for us to be able to move ahead. So maybe you did not grow up Foursquare or Pentecostal. What are some stigmas that you heard? What are some things that you brought into this movement that you need to just be honest about and say, all right, Lord, I had that weird experience when I was 15 and people were running around and it was going crazy. I need to walk away from that because that wasn't a true expression of the Holy Spirit. And so what is it that you need to remove from those? If you have a hang up, if you have a question, a doubt, you need to find answers. I mentioned Pastor Daniel Brown. He actually has a ministry called Commended to the Word. It's commended.net. And I would encourage you for the theology of the Holy Spirit. I don't know of any better than Pastor Daniel. But removing some stigma will help you to help others do the same. And so I'll be honest with you. I was prayed over multiple times. The first time, I think I was baptized in the Spirit twice. Probably because I needed it. I was growing up Baptist. But actually, my wife's mom, she wasn't my mother-in-law at the time. She grew up Baptist. And I was like, Pastor Terry, I want to ask you some questions. And so I was in her office and asking her some questions about the Holy Spirit, all these things. She came up around the desk and started praying over me. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And she's like, did you feel anything? I'm like, no, what am I supposed to feel? Like, the lights are still on. Like, and then she prayed, and then later I found she was actually praying over me to be baptized in the Spirit. And I was like, well, okay, thank you. That was awesome. And then Pastor Daniel came to our church and did the same thing. And I just was one of those things. It was like a mental block, or I was in my head too much. But it was a lot of baggage that I had to remove and get free from to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to help our church remove the stigma. But number two, we need to be honest with answers that we don't know. Now, this might be harder for those of you who've grown up Pentecostal, because you might feel, well, I'm legacy. I've grown up. I know this. I've been to the camps. I've done this. But there are some things that we still don't understand. That's why we read, Paul tells a young leader, Timothy, in verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved. We're continuing to study, to engage, to process. You see, being a pastor doesn't mean you have all the answers. It just means that you are diligent to find the answers. And so call somebody, pray for wisdom, study, but be honest. And then, I mentioned this a moment ago, but we need to stay engaged in the Spirit personally. Not just at Foursquare Connection, but this summer when it's hot and you don't want to go anywhere. We need to stay engaged in the Spirit personally. I love, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. A couple days ago, I was in an Uber, and they dropped me off here at the hotel. And I got out, and within seconds, I knew I left my phone in the Uber. I know, it was a terrible feeling. And I'm walking into the door, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I left my phone, and the guy starts driving off. Now, I am ashamed to admit, I do not go to the gym. I had a gym membership once for like 2 years. I went one time and was like, what am I doing? I'm just wasting money. And so I'm running after the Uber in the hotel parking lot, and I'm like, oh, man, I need to start working out. Like, this is terrible. The Uber guy did not see me, kept driving, and I was like, it was a whole process to get my phone back. But here's why I bring up that story. Within seconds, I knew I left my phone. Do we know if we're not walking in the Holy Spirit and he's gone? Do we even realize it? Like, do we know that the Holy Spirit hasn't been on our services in a while, and we've just been going and we don't even know? And so I want to encourage you, like, just to really process and be honest and say, God, am I engaging in the Spirit personally? And when was the last time the Holy Spirit showed up in our services? I knew my phone was gone immediately, but do we know the Holy Spirit has been gone? Or are we just continuing on like we've always done it? And then number four, we need to live as an example to the church. By the way, the stories that you're sharing, share that with other people. I think it's so important. It's not bragging on you. That's kind of a mental block that I have to get over. You're bragging on the Spirit. You're bragging on, and you're showing, Paul tells us, he says, imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. You're not bragging on you. You're showing an example to those who you're leading. And when they see the Holy Spirit working in you, you're encouraging them to have the Holy Spirit work in their life. And so when we talk about healing, or, hey, I just shared a verse, or the Lord healed me of a headache. Like, this was an amazing experience. People are like, the Holy Spirit works. He's real. He's active. He's alive. It's not just in a book. It's actually in our life. If people in your church engage with the Holy Spirit like you do, what kind of church would you have? Because that's the kind of church you already have. And so engage with the Holy Spirit as an example. Now, let's go to our services for a moment. Here's what I believe, and here's my prayer. There's about 2,000 American Foursquare churches. Can you imagine if 2,000 churches over the next 12 months hosted a Holy Spirit Sunday? If there was 2,000 churches that said, you know what, we're going to take a Sunday. It's going to get messy. We don't know what's all going to happen. We don't know what's going to take place, but we're going to open up our doors to heaven and say, Holy Spirit, fall. We sing Holy Spirit come. You're welcome here. But I don't know if I always mean that. I'm like, Holy Spirit, you're welcome over in this corner right here. And I need this space right here. And so I believe, can you imagine if 2,000 churches, San Antonio, I think, is the location next year, if we were to come back. I don't know how many Holy Spirit baptisms we had in 2024, but could you imagine in 2025, it doubled, tripled, quadrupled? Because here's what I believe. I believe that 30 years of my life living without the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm like, I wasted 3 decades, and I'm only 43. But the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, got me through a divorce. has really brought me into freedom, has really connected some things scripturally for me that I'm like, man, like more people need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And it starts with the baptism. And so what I want to share for a few moments is how do we engage the Holy Spirit in our services? Now, the first thing we need to understand, let's get into some nitty-gritty stuff. By the way, is there any questions, any comments, any things that you want to share so far? Good? Yeah. He asked if this is going to be a topic. Okay. Okay. He made a comment about just pushing the Holy Spirit back to the front. And again, many of you have been in the Foursquare longer, and this is not against anything, but this idea of let's call us back to pushing the Holy Spirit back. And again, it for those of you, about 25% of the room who did not grow up Foursquare, like this is newer to us, and we're excited about it. But for those of you who've grown up in Foursquare, I would encourage you, help us, lead us, like show us how this happens and how this works. We need to engage the Holy Spirit in our lives and our services. Because I was youth pastor for many years, and I'll be honest with you, probably the only time that we had Holy Spirit baptisms was at camp, which is amazing. But what about our adults? What about their parents? Because I would take kids to camp, and they are filled with the Spirit. Like, it's amazing. And they go back to their parents who are, like, suppressing what had happened in their life. Good people, but they just weren't filled themselves. And so they didn't know how to handle their kid who was on fire for the Lord. And so we need to bring this into our adult services and encourage them. So here's a few things I want to share with us as we kind of get into some nitty-gritty about a Holy Spirit baptism service. Number one is this: plan for Holy Spirit baptisms. Don't wing it. The worst thing you can do is leave this workshop, call your worship leader and tell them you're having Holy Spirit baptism this Sunday. Okay, don't do that. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul tells the church, he says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived." Look at this next phrase. "God has prepared these things for those who love him." If God needs time to prepare, we also need time to prepare. And so we need to make sure we're not winging this. That's why we have, and again, I don't know, I didn't grow up in this expression, but it was so weird to me when people were just running around because it didn't seem like there was any plan or thought. It didn't seem like there was anything that somebody was thinking about. How is this going to look? How are we going to really reach unchurched, unreached people and not have this show that was like so wild to people? So we need to plan and not wing it. Being led by the Holy Spirit, by the way, I don't know who needs to hear this, but I think someone does not mean you don't need to plan. I don't need a plan. I have the Holy Spirit. We don't need to meet about this service. The Holy Spirit will just show up and do whatever he wants. No, the Holy Spirit is going to work. We'll talk about this in a moment, but we need to plan. We sing your welcome here, Holy Spirit, but we also add, if we're honest, now, Holy Spirit, I didn't think about anything. I didn't plan anything. I'm winging it. And now every weird environment, but Holy Spirit, now you can fall into this weird place. And so what I believe is we need to prepare a place to welcome him in too. Don't wing this. Plan for the Holy Spirit to fall. And guess what? If you plan for him to fall, he will. He will. The second thing I want to share is this idea of we plan, but we also need to train. Because perhaps this, if you do a Holy Spirit service over the next 12 months, it might be the first time that's ever happened in the history of your church. It was for us. January 2024 was the first time in our adult services that we had a moment for Holy Spirit baptism. And our church at that point was 35 years old. And I want to encourage you, if this is something you're praying about, the Lord's depositing in your heart, then you need to, number two, take some time to train your staff, your leaders, volunteers, everyone that's going to be involved in this service. Because a thoughtful leader produces confident followers. If you plan ahead, you're going to be intentional about the training about those around you. Now, we were very intentional about who was going to pray. It wasn't just any randos like wanting to pray over people. Like we had to know them. We had to ask them to be a part of this team. I told them where to like place a hand on the person because I didn't want them to be weird about that. Like sometimes we take liberties with other people's bodies that we shouldn't. And, well, the Holy Spirit's leading me. Well, no, you're just being a creep. Like, stop doing that. Like, and so we were telling him, like, you ask permission, maybe on the shoulder, like, don't touch their head or their face. You act, like, we were very intentional about that. We actually told them, don't say repeat after me. We don't just repeat this sound to kind of manufacture the Holy Spirit and maybe the gift of tongues. And don't just kind of, we're not forcing anything. We just want to train people. In fact, I actually, our middle school pastor, Jackie Berrigan, had a pretty amazing experience just, I think, a few weeks ago in our middle school service. Now, middle schoolers, some of you don't remember middle school. These are like 12, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds who are knuckleheads. But something special happened. I've asked her to share a quick testimony. So, Jackie, why don't you come and share what happened in our middle school service?
Okay, so thank you, Pastor Jeremy. He really truly has, I feel like, been a forerunner in just doing something that he wasn't always comfortable doing, and I grew up similarly to him. So I actually grew up in a more Baptist denomination under the name of non-denominational. So there was some discomfort with, you know, leading in to the power of the Holy Spirit, but he was so honest about, like, how he began to do that, and then I saw it firsthand in 2024. I love the Holy Spirit. I've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in profound ways. He's healed my body tangibly 3 different times, just a ruptured disc from, you know, chronic migraines. Like, he's just done incredible things. And I think each and every one of you can just attest to his power and just the incredible things that he's done. And I think we want to see that take place. And so I just wanted to bring just one verse, Luke 11:13. And as Pastor Jeremy was mentioning, sometimes we read the Bible through different lenses. This was one of those things that I didn't realize Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so he's, you know, it's this famous text about, you know, ask and it will be given, seek and you'll find, knock, the door will be opened. But in verse 13, he says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think that's an encouragement for you and a promise for you, as it is for me, for every minister, that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest. He wants to be poured out. He wants us to walk in his power. And so that came from him. He wants that. And so a couple weeks ago, we did like a 2-part sermon series in middle school. We do games, we do all that stuff. And I had a volunteer, you know, she's just incredible. She's gone to LPU, has her master's degree. She preached, and she came with this, like, long message on the Holy Spirit. She's like, you know what? And in the middle of her message, first Sunday, she's like, Pastor Jackie, can I just, like, have permission to extend this to the next Sunday? And I'm like, in this, like, on the spot, all the middle schoolers are looking at me. I'm like, sure, like, let's do it. So she kind of just talked about who the Holy Spirit is, and then the very next Sunday she comes back. We also have 3 Sunday services in youth ministry, and so she comes back. She gave such a clear message in youth ministry. She used an illustration with balloons. All the middle schoolers, it was so hilarious. They had balloons, and she was talking about being filled, and so they're blowing up the balloon, and then they're, like, letting it make the crazy noise, and then, like, 5 minutes after that, she's like, let's pray. And I don't know if you guys have seen just the ice bucket challenge that's viral. Can you raise your hand if you've seen that, so I know? So all the students are tagging each other on the internet, and they're like, do the ice bucket challenge. And I think it's raising awareness for ALS. And so she brings that up, and she's like, you guys have been so bold, like, you know, just to do this on the internet. And so she really sets it up as this challenge, like, you guys are bold, like, you know how to be bold, you know how to be uncomfortable. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And she starts talking about just this prayer, this moment of prayer, this invitation for the Holy Spirit. And And, you know, one of them stands like the boldest middle schooler in the room. He's always the one, like, you know, running to the victory circle at camp, and he stands first, and she just keeps talking a little bit, explaining what this is, and just explaining, like, you know, we're just going to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. And so then more middle schoolers start standing. And at our 10 o'clock service, there were about 25 that stood, and they came forward. They came to the front. There were only like 10 or 15 still in the chairs. At the 11:30, there was only one person still in the chairs. There were like 39 or 40 in that service. And they came to the front, and I got to just have the honor of just praying over them. And it wasn't weird, you know, it was just so beautiful. And I just got to just lay my hand just gently on each one of their backs and just pray, just in alignment with Jesus's words, and just pray, like, would you pour out your Spirit? Would you pour out the Holy Spirit? And I think when you stand behind Jesus's words, like, and you know he wants to give the Holy Spirit, like, just ask him. And we gave so much explanation, like, you know, we talked about 1 Corinthians 12. These are the kind of things that are going to happen, like the affirmations that are going to happen. And, you know, for me, I went to Bible college. I prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 18 years old. Every single person in a room of 400 spoke in tongues, like, they all rose their hands, and I was the only one who didn't. And I was like, please, like, I'm afraid of the gift of tongues, but, like, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like, and the Lord, like, he made me wait about 3 months. And I know that a lot of you guys probably have stories that are similar where it did not happen. Maybe in that service, or maybe there was a period of waiting. And we were so clear, like, he might do something incredible and phenomenal in this moment. You might feel the Holy Spirit, but he also might ask you to wait a month or 2 months or a week, or maybe while you're in the car on the way home, he's just going to pour out his Spirit and clothe you with that power from on high. But I do want to share just quickly, after our 11:30 service, you know, they're just all in the front. We have to push the chairs back to make room for this prayer huddle. And, I just love, you know, I love talking about the Holy Spirit. And there was one little boy. He came up afterward, and he would hate it if I called him a little boy, but you guys are all adults, so I can call him that. And he's like, I just have this cold. Can you pray for healing? Because we were talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And it's so, I think it's just so sweet, and it's so normal, and it's so not weird, like, there's no stigma. And I'm just like, you have a cold? Okay, tell me specifically what hurts, like, what's wrong. And he told me, and so our team just, we just prayed over him. We're just like, Jesus, would you heal him? And this leader, same thing. She's like, I have a really bad allergies, and it's affecting me this way and this way. So we're like, okay, let's pray for her. We just prayed, like, all together, just a really short prayer, not weird. And both of them, you know, they look up after the prayer. I'm like, do you feel different? And both of them are like, yeah, like, it's just gone. Like, it's completely gone, you know? Yeah, so you can give it up for the Lord. And one other thing that happened just right after that moment, there was a boy, his mom, his dad is incarcerated. And there's just, his mom's not in the picture. There's just so much, you know, heartbreak there. And I saw one of our middle school leaders just give a prophetic word to him, just right after, like, all that. And so, yeah, the Lord is so good, and he just was manifesting his presence in that moment. And like Pastor Jeremy mentioned, like, we can structure those things, we can structure services, we can make room. It was very, like, well thought out and planned. But there's also things, so many things we don't see. And the last thing I want to say is, a couple of weeks after that, there was a high school girl in just worship on a Wednesday night. She comes up to me afterwards. She's like, the Lord told me just get on my knees. And I just felt this heat come over me, this power come over me. And I just had this encounter. I had this encounter. And we're like, oh, my gosh. Like, and I mentioned it to our staff. I'm like, I might have come out of that worship set thinking it was a flop, or, you know, all these kids are being crazy, they're running to the bathroom 10 times, and this girl in the front row is having an encounter and being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we did not pray for that, we didn't ask for that, we didn't lay our hands on her. He did what he wanted to do, and so he just wants, pour his spirit out, and she just, since that moment, has told me she's having these dreams and these visions and about the Lord, just her laying her hands on people and people being delivered from demons, and so he wants to move in the next generation, and it's just incredible. It's incredible, yeah.
So I want to encourage you, if you are a youth pastor, a children's pastor, young adults pastor, the Holy Spirit moves even in middle schoolers. It's incredible to see. I just believe that revival comes to churches through young people. And so I think it's important for us to continue to engage. A couple things I want to mention as we move into engaging the Holy Spirit in our services is not only to train, but number three, to be extremely clear with the church about how you're going to work this. I think it's important to not surprise. I have like this, I don't like surprises, like just in general. Like, I didn't have birthday parties growing up. Don't feel bad for me. I didn't want them. Like, I just didn't like, I don't like surprises. Like, I like to know what's going on. Again, I don't know if I'm a recovering control freak or just an ongoing control freak, but I like to have control. And I just don't like surprises. And I take that into these Holy Spirit baptism services as well. I don't want people to be surprised. Like, now, maybe the Holy Spirit surprises them, and that's on the Holy Spirit. Like, he can do that. But I don't want to create an environment where they're just like, what's going on now? So we want to make sure that we're being extremely clear. Many in our services have never experienced this before. And so we need to be clear and not allow ambiguity to rule. There's this beautiful verse in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 11. The prophet Ezekiel, he says, this is what the Lord God says, though I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them. And that word sanctuary in the Hebrew is actually this beautiful word called mikdash. And what it means is it's a safe space. It's a sacred space. And what I pray for our church at the Highlands and for your church as well is that your church would be a mikdash, a safe space. Even on a Sunday where they're like not sure what's going to happen, or they might even be a little uncomfortable, but to create a mikdash, create a safe space for people. And then number four, we need to give people space to process as they are moved. Now, I'm okay with the, like, on the count of three, raise your hand. On the count of three, come down. I appreciate that. There's room for that. But sometimes people need more than a count of three. Sometimes people are like, okay, hold on. Like, I grew up Baptist. People running around. Is this in the King James? I'm not really sure. Like, they need some space to process. And so I love in Psalm 46, David writes, be still and know that I am God. And that's most translations, but I actually like the Christian Standard Translation where he says, stop fighting and know that I am God. Now, the enemy is always fighting followers of Jesus. I think sometimes we blame the enemy too much. I'm all about blaming him, and devil made me do it's a popular phrase. But sometimes I think people are just fighting within themselves because they're in unfamiliar territory. And if we're going to allow our church to stop fighting in themselves so they can be still, we need to give them some time to process. And so if you're like, okay, on the count of three, we're going to raise your hand or stand or whatever it is, and no one does it immediately, like, it's okay. Holy Spirit's still working. God's in control. You're doing the right thing. You just might need to give them some time to process. Because sometimes they're not at the same place that you are. You need to give people room to wrestle with what you've shared and with what the Holy Spirit is teaching. So maybe you need to be still and allow them to stop fighting so that they know that God is there. And then number five, this is so important. Don't force a moment. Your responsibility is not to force a moment, it's to create a moment. And so what we need to do is we need to set the stage for the Holy Spirit to work. Now, let me give you a couple of numbers. So last year we had 750 people stand, get baptized in the Spirit. That was amazing. But what you didn't know is that was only about 40% of all the attendance in our services. What that means is 60% either didn't respond, maybe some had already responded before, but that was a lot of people who didn't respond. This year, 600 people responded. That was about 30% of the adults that were there. And what that means is 70% maybe had been baptized the year prior, or they're still fighting. But you know what would be horrible for us to do? To try to force it. To try to say, hey, you in the back, I see you. I saw your post yesterday. You need the Holy Spirit right now. Like, don't do that. Don't force these moments. Don't say, I'm staying here until somebody stands. Don't force these moments. I believe our role is to help the Holy Spirit create these moments. Because there's many people who, by the way, there might be people who don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit at your church, but maybe another church. And you just planted a seed. That's okay. We're not part of, I'm not trying to raise up the Highlands Empire. I'm trying to raise up God's church. And so there's been some good people that have come through our church. They stay for a little, and then they go on, and it's like, hey, we lead with open hands. They're not my people. They're God's people. And so maybe God's used our church to deposit some seeds, and now God's going to plant them. It sucks, to be honest with you. I hate that, because I'm just like, I want them to be here. But it's God's church. And so we want to lead with open hands, but we don't force these moments. And we realize that, you know what, maybe you go and you're pumped up, you're excited, this fall we're going to do this, and 10 people stand. Praise God for that. Praise God for 10 people who are now walking more fully in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're not about the numbers. I share that with you just to give you some context, but we're not about the numbers. We're about obedience. We're about saying, God, you put this on my heart. And Amy and I, we were talking about it last year, and it was such a culture-shifting, paradigm-shifting thing for our church. But it got to the point where I knew I would be disobeying God if we did not have a service, a whole baptism service in our church. I knew I'd be disobeying God. I didn't care about the number. I didn't care about, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to this looking like. I just was like, I have to do this because this is what God has said. And so what is God saying to you? Don't worry about it. It's never been done. Well, it's not done like that. Or, well, we just do it over here. Like, if you have to obey God. But don't force a moment. And then the last thing, we mentioned this a moment ago with Pastor Jackie, but this is so important. And I'm telling you, as a recovering Baptist, please don't be weird or allow things to get weird. Now, what this might mean practically for you as a pastor or leader, but for example, this past January when we did our service, there was a guy that was going to pray with somebody that I didn't want to pray with anybody because I knew him. I'm like, I don't want him praying, and because he wasn't part of like this team. He was weird. I mean, I heard growing up the gospel light attracts strange bugs, and he was a strange bug. Like, I just was like, not wanting him to pray over people. So I had to interject myself in that and say, I'm going to pray for this person. And you go pray by yourself in the corner. Like, that's, but we might have to do that. Because I would rather offend a longtime Christian than stunt the growth of a new Christian. And so I want to be careful that it's okay to make people feel uncomfortable for the sake of those that we're trying to reach. And so let me encourage you to don't be weird or allow things to get weird. And by the way, what I found is I think things get weird when we don't plan. We just kind of allow the moment to, and there are moments the Holy Spirit works and we're like, okay, we need to step into this. And it wasn't on the run sheet, but this is from God. We need to do this. But you know the difference. And so the last thing I want to share as we wrap up our time, and I'll open up for questions, and I actually want to pray over you. We want to engage the Holy Spirit in our preaching and our teaching. Just some very simple thoughts. Whenever you preach about the Holy Spirit, please keep it simple and practical. I've used some different illustrations and objects. For example, I used a baseball bat before, and I've used a water pitcher. I found on Amazon a welcome-ish mat, which was awesome. It literally said, well, you're welcome-ish. And so I used that. We welcome-ish the Holy Spirit sometimes in our services. And I used a yield sign. I don't know if this is theologically accurate, but I'll just claim I'm new to Foursquare, relatively. I actually shared this past January. The Holy Spirit is a cheat code. I don't know if that's right, but I grew up on Nintendo in the 90s, and there was this cheat code, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, BA, select, start. We know that. You know that. And for my favorite game of all time, Contra, it didn't just give me 3 lives, it gave me 30 lives. And so I shared that with our church. I need to run that by the doctrine committee, because I don't know if this is accurate, but the idea was that I shared was that the Holy Spirit is this cheat code that we don't even know the power until we activate it. And so it's this idea that, yeah, you might have 3 lives on your own, but with the Holy Spirit, you got 30. Like, you can move forward, and you could take risks and chances. And so there's illustrations, and we have a balloon illustration that Pastor Jackie mentioned. Real quick, is there any other illustrations or things that you've used to teach on the Holy Spirit we want to hear from?
I use, like, a gift box, like one of those paper boxes with the lid, and I wrap it up really nice. And then inside is a tool belt, and then it has some tools. I have keys in mine, so representing all the 9 gifts. And so I will, like, give somebody the box. Like, you ask for baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says in Luke that he gives it. So I think often we receive the gift, and then we might put it on the shelf, or we just leave it there, or we're afraid of it. We don't open it. They need to open it. You need to open the gift. You have to be willing to receive it. Then you take out the tool belt because what he's got, you know, Holy Spirit, I need a word of wisdom. You grab that gift and you use that and you activate it.
That's good. That's a great one. Anybody else want to share an illustration over here?
Yeah, I've learned throughout the years that everybody is uniquely made. Everybody has understands things different based on their experiences. So if you say, this is how you receive the Holy Spirit, it might not happen because theirs going to be totally different than yours. So I have found out, I asked the person, what do you think the Holy Spirit is? How do you think it's supposed to look like? What is the Holy Spirit talking to you about? And then encourage it that way. It might be foreign to you, but to them, that's the only way they're going to receive it. Because if they try to receive it the way you received it, they're not going to get it. So you have to help them receive it their way.
All right. Keep your teaching, your preaching simple and practical. Number 2, address concerns that people have. Think about this. Who comes to your church and who lives in your community? So for us in Palmdale, we have a lot of former Catholics who attend our church. And we have a lot of unchurched people who come. And so what we need to do, in fact, I did an informal poll recently in our church, and more than half of our church never even grew up in church. They attended maybe a mass once or twice, but our church is the first church I've ever attended consistently. And so what I have to do is not only keep my teaching simple and practical, but I actually need to address the concerns that they have, because all they've heard about the Holy Spirit is from like TV or media and all those word of mouth sources. And so where is it, where are you called to lead, and who is the community, the church that you're leading, and address the concerns that they have? We don't have a strong theological background in our church. And so everything we teach about the Holy Spirit is like brand new information to them. And so I can't go into like all of these like really deep pneumatology topics and things because it's going to be way over their head. Now, having said that, I would encourage you also, we create other spaces. We have some discipleship classes about who's the Holy Spirit. It's about 8 weeks that we dig deeper into that. We have Bible studies that I lead a Friday morning Bible study. We talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're leading in that. We do Bible life groups and different things that we're always trying to go deeper. But in our services, make sure we're addressing concerns that people have. And then the last thing I want to mention is this. I would encourage you to mention the Holy Spirit in every single message you deliver. Actually, a big chunk of my Easter message this year was on the Holy Spirit. Jesus in John 20, he prays over disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. And so we talked about that on Easter. I did a wedding last week. I talked about the Holy Spirit. Like everything we're doing, let's mention the Holy Spirit because it will, people will, sometimes we say things one time in our churches and we're like, they got it. No, they didn't. They forgot and half the people weren't there. Like you just have to continually remind people. Someone told me, you have to remind people until you're sick of hearing it. Like, not that we're sick of the Holy Spirit, but we have to remind people, like, I've said this 1,000 times. And to someone, it's be like, this is the first time I've ever heard this in my life. Like, and so we have to continually mention the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. The last thing I want to share with you is I created a resource page that you can scan a link, or you can visit jeremymail.com/Holy Spirit. I put there some resources like some emails that I sent to our team, some sermon outlines, an Acts series schedule. Oh my goodness, that was probably the best thing that we've done in our church over the last 4+ years, is we took about 30 weeks and we went through the book of Acts in our church. It was amazing. If you're like, I don't know where to start, we haven't really talked about the Holy Spirit like in our church, and how do we start it? Start with the book of Acts. Just go through it. Holy Spirit will be along the way. Church will get it, and then that will help build a foundation for you. Perhaps you do a Gifts of the Spirit series. I love the tool belt idea through the Spirit series. Holy Spirit 101 is just what we did earlier this year, but there's a lot of things. Any questions, any comments as we wrap up our time together? Over here.
Thanks, appreciate it. So my question is in regards to the expression of the gifts of the Spirit during a service. So in our doctrine, our declaration of faith, it says here under the section for spiritual gifts that they are to be most earnestly desired and coveted in the order and proportion wherein they prove most edifying and beneficial to the church. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 14 about how we are to express the gift of speaking in tongues in an orderly fashion. In fact, let me just read this here. It says here, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. And so just my question is, how do we understand what Paul is teaching and implement that in the church? Because I don't believe we demonstrate that, even at Connection as well. You know, how we're supposed to exercise that? Because I think what's at the heart of it is love, and Paul makes that clear in chapter 13 that we're to love, or we express God's love through an orderly fashion in our giftings. So.
I appreciate that question, and it's a question that it seems as I've had lots of conversations that Foursquare or maybe Pentecostal denominations have wrestled with. Speaking in tongues is not the only outpouring or expression of the gifts, or even being baptized in the Spirit. And I think sometimes that's why you have the repeat after me prayers, because sometimes we believe that it's the only way. So if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. And I would, in our church, we've really rejected that. And I've talked to really great people in our movement, including Daniel Brown, about that, of what does that look like? And you read, Paul talks about, even that gift is edifying you, but there's other gifts that edify the church. And so I think it's important. That's why if you lead in a Holy Spirit baptism service, we're not trying to, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I should, we're not trying to lead to a intended outcome. What I mean is, I'm not trying to lead 750 people to have the gift of tongues immediately. That's not my goal. My goal is to allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants. So like Jackie mentioned, and it was actually the same for me, when I was baptized in the Spirit, I didn't speak in tongues immediately. It took her 3 months because she's more spiritual than I am. It took me like almost a year. And it was just a long time. And it actually wasn't even at church. It was actually driving down the road. I was at a stoplight. And I was praying, and all of a sudden, I was just like, whoa, what's happening? And I think sometimes we get so focused on one gift that we need to be aware of all the gifts. And so just to go back to this brother, I would just encourage us, we're not trying to lead people to one funnel of one lane. It's like, Holy Spirit, you do whatever you want. And so that might be a word of prophecy or healing or tongues, but that's up to the Holy Spirit. So we're not trying to lead into that. Right here.
Just as an answer to that, I mean, would you be offended if there was a miracle that happened in your church service, right? Would you be upset if a prophetic word came forth? And so oftentimes, pretty much at every service, before our service starts, and again, your people, your church, but you invite that. Lord, if there's a miracle, let it be manifest today. if there was a word to be spoken out, Lord, let it be spoken. You know, so you're giving the opportunity to there, you know, and again, like you said, sure, orderly, but you should know your church in some ways, but always saying the freedom is there. If there's to be a word of encouragement or exhortation, let it be spoken out.
I saw one in the back, and I'll be around. I want to be aware of your time, but I would encourage you, just like he said, of just allowing the Holy Spirit to work and knowing your church.
Practical standpoint, as someone who loves plans and processes and step-by-step and works for a pastor who's a dreamer, right? Like, from your inception of, like, hey, we should, like, the Holy Spirit's putting this on my heart, we need to do this with our church, how long was that process to actually then pulling that Sunday off?
Armin, you're not going to like this answer. As a planner, it took us 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks last year. This year we try to play more. We try to plan it more. But that's why I'm telling you, plan. Don't wing it. Because I don't know that we winged it, but we were like, we're gonna do this. And so if this year we took about 2 months to kind of plan. So I don't know how far ahead in your calendar you work. Some of that's dependent on the pastors. I know there's some other questions. I'll be still here that we could talk through. But I want to pray over you as we dismiss into our next session. Yeah, my wife. Actually, Amy, why don't you pray over them? This is my wife, Amy. She grew up in Foursquare, but apparently, you know, you married a Baptist guy, so I don't know how effective that was. No, I'm just kidding. But Amy has just been right with me of, let's go, let's lead. And so why don't you pray over the churches that are represented here?
Father God, we come to you as your humble servants. Lord, we lay down ourselves, our thoughts, our plans. We lay it all before you. And God, we invite you into this place. Lord, we ask that you would be even now deposited things in us, Lord God, giving us ideas for the future, because we know you want to move in your church the way that you did in the book of Acts. So God, we would be so bold as to come before you and say, Holy Spirit, come. Pour out on us and pour out on our congregations. Lord Jesus, give us inspiration. Even those of us that are not leaders in the space, Lord God, give us ideas for how we would encourage our senior leaders to move in the Holy Spirit. Give us ideas for our spaces, whether that be with kids, adults, wherever it is that we are, God, give us creative ideas, Lord, so that we can engage you in every moment of our day, in every service that we're in every gathering that we're in, oh God, I pray that you would just pour out afresh on us, Lord Jesus. You asked us to come to you and just ask. So, Lord, we ask. You are our good Father who gives good gifts. So, Lord Jesus, we would be so bold as to ask for a community of believers around us who are filled and baptized in the name of Jesus, baptized in your Holy Spirit, that you would go out and you would change our communities, that you would bring revival, because people are no longer walking in what they know, but they are walking in the Holy Spirit, who is leading them, guiding them, giving them power, boldness to speak things that they had never spoke before. May you change our marketplaces, oh God, because we would be bold enough, because we would be obedient, because we would be humble. We would say, God, we don't know, but we come before you. So God, would you do it? Baptize us. Baptize our communities. We walk with you every day. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Do a mighty work, oh God. And may we come back to Connection next year and tell the testimony of what it is that you have done. Your greatness. Spread throughout our country, throughout our world, because we would be obedient to you. We trust you. We love you. It is in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. We're available for questions. Again, we are praying for your churches that God would move in a special way. God bless.